Good morning and welcome to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. Today I am going to delve into the topic of prayer. Prayer, you say? Haven't you covered that topic before? Yes, I have. But the thing is that I am making exciting and new discoveries about prayer myself. One verse, which actually was brought to my attention by my brother-in-law Steve, is this in Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Let me read it to you. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Verse 25. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your sin. There's a stern warning at the end of those verses, which we'll have to delve into another day in regard to the topic of forgiveness. But today I'm looking at the topic of prayer, as I said, and the verse, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. I was watching the testimony of a pastor on YouTube, and this man was suffering from paralysis and couldn't move, etc. and others. And he went to a healing meeting. And when he went to the healing meeting, the person prayed for him and he knew the Spirit of God upon him. This is his testimony. He knew that God was moving in his body. But when he got home the next day, he ended up that he was in no better condition than he was before. And so he was left wondering how come he wasn't healed. As a result, he started to dig into the scriptures on prayer, and this was the verse that he came to. And he came to the conclusion that yes, he had been healed, but he'd been healed in the heavenly realms. The question was whether he believed that he was healed. God had answered the prayer, but it had not been made manifest in his body. And so he decided that at that point he was going to believe that God had heard the prayer and God had answered the prayer. And he ended up that he was restored to full health and strength and is now working as a pastor. Now that got me intrigued about the whole topic of prayer. And again, that's a whole area of exploration in regard to healing that I'm not going to go into today. Today I am going to talk about how your prayers go and make an impact. How your prayers make an impact. And to discuss that topic, I need to delve into two passages of scripture. The first one is a very familiar passage of scripture in Genesis and chapter 18 in regard to Abraham and the Lord praying, or Abraham interceding with the Lord on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. So let me read to you from Genesis chapter 18 and beginning at verse 16. When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on the earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord, by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sins so grievous, that I will go down and see if what has been done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke up again. Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people? If I find 45 there, he said, I will not destroy it. Once again he spoke to him, what if only 40 are found there? He said, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there? He answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Abraham said, now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there? He said, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just one more time. What if only 10 can be found there? He answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. Now, if we jump into Genesis in chapter 19, and we read verse 29, we discover the fate of Sodom and Gomorrah, one that you all know. But it goes and says this. Well, actually, let's start from verse 27. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he stood before the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land, like smoke from a furnace. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham. He brought Lot out of the catastrophe and overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. Now, the other passage of scripture that I want to read is another very familiar passage of scripture. And it is in Luke 11, although we're probably more familiar with the passage out of Matthew's gospel. But in Luke 11, in verse 1, this is what it reads. Jesus' teaching on prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children are with me in the bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks you for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Amen. And we'll delve into all of what this may mean after the break. Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill, where we are discussing the topic of prayer. And I have read 2 passages, one from Genesis, where Abraham is interceding on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. But more accurately speaking, Abraham is actually interceding on behalf of the righteous people that are in Sodom and Gomorrah. The other passage of scripture is where Jesus, after being asked by his disciples, goes and starts to teach them about prayer. And there's 3 areas that I would like us to focus on, to think about in regard to these passages of scripture, and for you to think about in regard to yourself, in regard to prayer. What is your prayer life like? When you pray, do you believe that God answers your prayers? Or do you feel that they're just hitting off the roof? Many times we actually recite, and I use the word recite, we recite prayers that we are familiar with, prayers that we have known since we've been a child, such as the Lord's Prayer. But we just rattle it off. We don't actually mean the words. We think, if I say this, well, God will hear and it'll all be sorted. Really, I don't think so. The thing is that we are supposed to pray it. We're supposed to believe what we're praying. And that's what that scripture in Mark 11:24 speaks about. So when I think about this, the first area in regard to who we are is the person of prayer. What sort of a praying person are you? Do you recognize who you are? That's the question. You see, when we look at the Lord's Prayer, it opens with two words. Our Father. Our Father. So we're addressing our Heavenly Father with those words. Our Father. What that actually means is that if God is our Father, then we are His child. Now think about that. Do you really believe that you are God's child? That you are part of God's family? That Jesus Christ is your older brother? That Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of your life? But also, because of Him, you are a co-heir in Christ Jesus. You share all the riches of heaven right now. Do you believe that? Do you believe, as it says in Ephesians, that you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus? You see, if we believe all those things, well, then that would completely change our attitude to prayer. Think about it. When you go to visit somebody, well, you practice good manners, airs and graces, and you behave yourself in a way that is fitting of that as a visitor. You don't walk into someone's house like you are their child. But when their child runs into the house, and maybe you can even think about it as a grandchild that you have, when they run into the house, they just believe they own the place. Come in from school and throw their school bag on the floor and leave it there for 3 days. Oh, it's the summer holidays. Well, can you kindly put your bag away? We don't need to be tripping over that for the next 3 months. You end up and a child comes in and it just digs into the press, eats whatever foods it likes, looks into the fridge. It has complete abandonment. They believe everything is there for their benefit, and rightly so. Now, here's the thing. When it comes to our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and our relationship with God, His Father, our Father, that is the way that we should be able to come before Him. Our Father. So do you recognize yourself as His child? In Hebrews, it goes and says that we can approach the throne boldly with confidence. That God is going to give us the grace and the mercy that we need for this time. And so what I'm saying to you is that when we look at just those two opening words, it changes our complete dynamic on how we are praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, we recognize where He is. And guess what? You and I are seated in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus right now. That's our home. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. His name is holy, set apart. Why is that? Because it is in and through the name of Jesus Christ that we can get anything that we ask for. Provided, of course, it is within the will of God. And that is another topic that we need to get into. What is God's will for your life? What is God's will for my life? But that's another topic for another day. Right now we're talking about prayer and your position. So what is important for you to recognize is who you are. Recognize that you are chosen. If you're a disciple, you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You have been chosen, Jesus goes and says in John chapter 15. I chose you. You did not choose me. Recognize that God is our Father. We have been adopted into His family. Dhruv is one of my children, and we have adopted him. A number of years ago, he is a member of our family, just as much as our natural children are. It doesn't matter where he came from. It doesn't matter what his family history may have been. He is part of our family. And so too with God. We are part of his family when we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. Do you recognise your position when it comes to pray? Or are you someone, and rather than coming in with that reckless abandonment, that like you own the whole of heaven, throwing your school bag in one corner and going, Abba, Father, let me tell you about something. Are you someone who comes into the courts of heaven like you don't belong? Coming in grovelling, cap in hand. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Who am I that I should come before you? Well, maybe that's where you need to start, but that's not where you need to stay. If you're a child of God, you can come with boldness and confidence. And so what we have in this story is Abraham comes before the Lord with boldness and confidence. What I love about that picture is that Abraham is walking down the road with the Lord and two of those angels who were on their way to Sodom. And we know the two angels then head on, if you continue to read the story. But Abraham is walking side by side with the Lord, Jesus Christ, on the road down to Sodom. When you are praying with the Lord, are you walking with him side by side? Enoch walked with God. Adam and Eve, before the fall, walked with God in the cool of the evening. It is God's desire that we should walk with him. Paul goes and tells us that we should stay in step with the Spirit of God. Nothing has changed from Genesis through to Revelation. But let me ask you a question. Are you someone who is walking with God, talking with God? Let's look more at this in a minute. We shall discover what is the position of prayer that Abraham takes up. Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill, where we are discussing the topic of prayer. And we've been looking at two passages of scripture. The first in Genesis and chapter 18, where Abraham is interceding on behalf of the righteous people living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And then where the Lord has been teaching his disciples how to pray after they requested that he would show them in Luke and chapter 11, delving into that very familiar prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. Well, in fact, we only looked at two words from it, our Father, and recognizing that if God is our Father, then we are his child. Before the break, we were discussing how Abraham was walking with the Lord along the road. And the challenge that puts to me, and I hope that the challenge that puts to you, is when you are going through your everyday life, going through all that is there, are you someone who is walking with the Lord? Enoch was someone who walked with the Lord, as I said. Adam and Eve walked with the Lord every day in the cool of the evening. Paul goes and asks us to go and stay in step with the Spirit. The disciples walked with Jesus on this earth. And so when Jesus is in our company, or rather we are in the company of the Lord Jesus, it changes the dynamic of things. Now, when we go and consider who we are, that we are a child of God, the other thing that we need to delve into when we look at this passage in Genesis is the position of prayer that Abraham takes. But what I like about this passage of scripture is the one who has instigated this conversation is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, first up, there is a type of prayer that's there that is an outcry prayer, a prayer seeking justice. God, where are you? Won't you do something about this? Won't you fix this situation? And the truth is that many of us pray those sort of prayers when we look at the world news, when we look at what's taking place in various parts of the country where there's wars and we see famine and we see dictatorships that are doing hurt and inhumanely treating people, our cry is, God, where are you? Why won't you do something? And that is exactly what was taking place. There was this outcry. And then the Lord, well, he lands in on the scene. And he is going down, being the one who is just, to see if this outcry is true. And so he's going down to pass judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, to go and weigh up if the outcry that has come against it carries truth. So God does step in to these situations when we call out to him. But what interests me is that as Abraham is walking along the road, getting into the topic of the position of prayer, what we have is they're walking along the road. Suddenly the two angels, as I said, went off to Sodom. The two men, it goes and says, they went off down to Sodom. Now, the four of them had been walking together along the road as a group. But suddenly we see that Abraham, it says, is standing before the Lord. That means that Abraham has actually come around into a position where he is blocking the Lord walking on. Isn't that an interesting picture? When we are praying, when we are interceding on behalf of people, you are someone who is standing in the gap. You are someone who is coming before God, blocking the Lord's path to Sodom and Gomorrah. Isn't that interesting? I think that's interesting. We all know the Lord could have just flicked Abraham aside like a just swipe of a fly. But he doesn't do that, because he had invited Abraham into this conversation. Will I hide from Abraham what I am going to do? You know, God goes and lays it on people's hearts to pray into a situation. You may right now be there and you're going, I need to pray for this person who's going through sickness or illness. I need to pray for this person who's going through a hard time. I need to pray for this person who has lost their job. Well, why is it that you need to do that? I would suggest the reason is that God has invited you into position to pray for them. So the first place we find is that Abraham stands in front of the Lord. He's blocking the Lord from actually going forward. And then what does he do? He approaches the Lord. He actually comes up close. And this is a very intimate conversation that we see. And it's a conversation. Prayer is a conversation. Notice the ebb and flow of this. Abraham speaks. The Lord answers. 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 And so, as Abraham is interceding for the righteous in the place, by actually interceding for those who are righteous, he's actually interceding for the salvation of the whole city. If there had only been 10 righteous people living in Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord would have not destroyed the whole place. So in regard to the position of prayer, are you someone who comes and stands before the Lord in prayer? Are you someone who is blocking the Lord from moving forward? Lord, you're going to hear what I'm going to say. Are you someone and you approach God? You come forward right to him and you say, Lord, that's what goes and says, Abraham approached the Lord and said. So first he blocks the Lord, then he approaches the Lord, and then he speaks and he starts to intercede on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. But he doesn't let go. Do you notice that? It isn't a once-off prayer. He got an answer each time. So his answer was, if there was 50 people in the city, will you destroy the whole city? No, said the Lord. So Abraham believed that. So then he said, okay then. He didn't go and say a second time, if there's 50 people. He believed him. Then he goes and he says, well, if there's 45 people. And on as the story goes, till he gets right down to 10 people. Now I want to put another thought across your mind about the impact that you are making as a believer in Jesus Christ, as someone who follows him, as a Christian, irrespective of denomination and church that you go to. Do you know why God's grace and mercy is continuously being poured out upon our planet, and why it is that God hasn't wiped people off the face of the earth? I believe that when we look at this passage of scripture, we have the clue. The reason is God hasn't done it because of you. If there had been 10 people in Sodom and Gomorrah that were righteous, upright in God's eyes, he wouldn't have destroyed those two cities. But he couldn't find even 10 people. Let me ask you a question right now. Wherever the town is that you are living in, Do you believe that there are 10 people who are righteous and upright before the Lord? Well, I would like to go and suggest to you a thought. Is it possible that due to those 10 righteous people, God has not destroyed your town? They're the ones that are the reason for God's grace and mercy being poured out day by day. Because every day we arise, we live in the grace and the mercy of God. Think about that. So, the position of prayer. Abraham stood before the Lord. Abraham approached the Lord. And Abraham spoke to the Lord. Is that a snapshot of your prayer life? Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And folks, I have to tell you, I am very excited about the topic of prayer. And if you've been listening to the rest of the show, you'll know that. The thing is, we've been looking at two passages of scripture, and that is one in Genesis and the other in Luke 11, where we're talking about the Lord's Prayer. Now, when it comes to this last point of the, when we dig into these prayers of Abraham interceding on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah, and where we see the Lord expounding to his disciples on the teaching of prayer, the last point I would like to bring out to you is the power of prayer. Very often, I believe that people do not genuinely believe that prayer changes anything. And if we were to go and read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, well, the next morning, as we went and read in Genesis 19, Abraham, after all his intercession, stands up, goes out, and he looks out over Sodom and Gomorrah, and he sees nothing but ashes and smoke rising, and just where God has just poured out his desolation on all of it. And you and I would be forgiven if we were in Abraham's shoes of thinking that God didn't answer my prayer. Abraham probably looked out over that city and he thought, my goodness, there wasn't even 10 righteous people there. Why didn't I ask God for 5? Now you see, Abraham had a vested interest in it. His nephew Lot lived in those cities. And here's the interesting point. God actually answered Abraham's prayer. Abraham didn't see it though. He only saw the physical eye, the destruction that was lying there. But it says that God remembered Abraham and he spared Lot and his family. Think about that. How many times is it in prayer that as you pray, God remembers you and remembers what you've prayed? You may not see it, but God has answered it. You see, Abraham ended up that he looked out over that desolation, but Lot had been taken out of the city and had gone in the opposite direction, away from where Abraham was. So Abraham didn't see Lot. He didn't know that Lot had been spared. And yet God had spared him because of Abraham's prayers. That is the power of prayer. But what do we see in this prayer? We see an insistence. Abraham was not going to let go. And we see that in the story that Jesus tells us in Luke's gospel. He goes and says, suppose someone has a friend. You have a friend. And they had a visitor come to their door. And that friend went along and he started to bang on his neighbor's door, another friend's door, and goes and says, please, can you get up? I need bread. I have no bread. And this visitor has come to see me. And so can you imagine, you're in bed, you're asleep, and all you're listening to is bump, 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 bump. You go away. Can you just leave me alone? I'm asleep. At that point, the whole house is disturbed. Anyway, what's he going to say? It isn't due to the friendship that the man of the house would get up. It is because of the persistence, the boldness in prayer. That boldness that he wanted bread, the knocking on it, that door. And then Jesus goes and says, ask, seek, knock. Very familiar passage of scripture. How often do you ask? How often do you seek? How often do you knock? You see, Abraham, in his intercessory prayer, he asked God. He got an answer, but he persisted on. He got an answer. He persisted on. He got an answer. He was holding true. He was going to see this happen. And so the impact that was being made on that whole area was due to the prayers of one man, Abraham. Now, that excites me no end, because when it comes to you and it comes to prayer, do you know what? You can transform this whole society. You can transform your family. You can transform your community. You can transform your neighborhood. And you know what you need to do? You only need to do one thing. In Matthew's gospel, in regard to this passage of scripture, Jesus goes and says that when you pray, you should pray like this. In Luke's gospel, it goes and says, when you pray, say. When you pray, say. If there's no other prayer that you really know, you go, intercessory prayer, Nigel, I don't know how to do intercessory prayer. I don't even know what type of prayer you're talking about here. Well, you know this prayer. You know the Lord's prayer. So when you are praying, even just pray this one prayer, but pray it, don't recite it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come in my neighbor's life, as it is in heaven. What about that? What about praying that God's will would actually be fulfilled in your neighbor's life, in your family's life, in the lives of your community? Think about it. The only prayer you need to do as you're going along, walking through your neighborhood, and you see your neighbor, your next door neighbor, the neighbor after it, and etc. When you go into the shop, just go and say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Why not change it to My Father? My Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come here in this shopping center. Your will be done in this place as it is in heaven. In all of the lives that are here, your will be done, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine if that was your intercessory prayer, that you would see God's will fulfilled in the lives of everyone around about you. And as I said to you, that's a different topic. But what I want to do now, before we finish this session, is I want you to join with me in prayer, not recital, in prayer. And let us pray that prayer that Jesus told us to. That's what he said, he told us to. When you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. I hope you've enjoyed this time of delving into what prayer is. And so, folks, until next time, all that's left for me to say is thank you for listening to Heartlands here on Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, show you grace, and turn his face towards you, and give you peace as you transform your neighborhood, your family, your community, your society, your county, your country. In the name of Jesus, amen.